From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
I respect China and I respect President Xi, but they've been killing us. $507 billion in trade deficits last year.
We're paying for anywhere from 70 to 90% to protect Europe, and that's fine. Of course, they kill us on trade. They kill us on other things. They make it impossible to do business in Europe, yet they come in and they sell their Mercedes and their BMWs.
Happy Friday. This is Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Hope you had a blessed Independence Day. I know I did, with family and friends. Well, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo arrives in North Korea for his meeting with Kim Jong-un. And should be interesting to see. Will North Korea do what they say they're going to do? And the United States hiked tariffs on Chinese imports today. And Beijing announced it was retaliating against American goods in a technology dispute between the world's two biggest economies that President Donald Trump says he is prepared to escalate. We'll talk with Gordon Chang. He's a Southeast Asia expert and author, and always excited to get Gordon on the show with lots of insights. And President Donald Trump continued acting on his campaign promise to take no salary by donating his presidential paycheck to the Veterans Administration in May. And a matter of fact, Trump's lean White House payroll, you ready for this, is saving taxpayers some $22 million. And Adam Andzaewski, he'll be here. He's the CEO and founder of OpenTheBooks.com. He'll share and take a look at the numbers for us. And maybe you saw this, very disturbing. A video of a Trump-supporting teen has gone viral after a man ripped his Make America Great Again hat off his head, threw soda at him in his face. The man's face is clear and visible in the video the 16-year-old victim Hunter Richard took. And conservative actor James Wood, also happened over the 4th holiday, who is also a big supporter of President Donald Trump, got dumped by his publicist on Independence Day. Is this really the state of where we are in regards to politics? Counterculture mom and former Hollywood actress Tina Marie Griffin will be here later in the show to share her thoughts. And all of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at RJonesReport. Well, just after midnight Eastern time, the Trump administration's 25% tariffs kicked in on $34 billion worth in Chinese imports, in the first step in what could become an accelerating series of tariffs. Joining us now is Southeast Asia expert Gordon Chang and author of Nuclear Showdown. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much, Russ.
Well, you probably heard that clip there. He's been talking quite a bit about the tariffs, and it's really interesting to see somebody pushing back this time and trying to save the United States money. What say you?
Yeah, this is important. These tariffs, people talk about it as a trade war. Well, really, this is not so much about trade. These tariffs are imposed under Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974, for the theft of U.S. intellectual property. China steals hundreds of billions of dollars of U.S. intellectual property each year, and these tariffs are meant to try to stop that. Now, I think that they're going to be insufficient, but they are a signal to Beijing that they've got to stop what has really been called the largest theft in history.
And you know, the Commerce Ministry said President Trump, quote, ignited the biggest trade war in economic history, which is what you just said. It is not. And it's been interesting to just see how President Trump is packaging this whole thing. I've got another clip here. This was from President Trump's remarks at a rally in Great Falls, Montana. Let's listen.
The United States of America was the piggy bank that everybody was robbing. And let me tell you, our allies in many cases were worse than our enemies. We opened our country to their goods, but they put up massive barriers to keep our products and our goods out of their country because they didn't want that competition. And that's not free trade, that's stupid trade. We're not gonna do that. We have to have fair and reciprocal, that being the more important word. They charge a 50% tax. We charge a 50% tax. Then we say, look, let's bring it to nothing, or I don't care, one way or the other, do whatever you want. And then I'll have people complaining. They'll say, it's incredible. So we have countries ripping us up for years. And then when I say, well, look, we're going to put tariffs on there because they have been ripping us. We have trade deficits. They have surpluses. That would be unbelievable. So they have all of this. And I say, we are going to do something about it. And I get calls from some politicians. Oh, that's terrible. I said, no, you don't understand. We're going to make great deals. No, no, that's just leave it the way it is, please. Just leave it the way it is. Leave it the way it is. I said, no, no. We have all the cards. We're the bank that everybody's stealing from.
Gordon, we're the bank that everyone's stealing from. In my lifetime, I don't think I've heard a president talk in these terms. You've been all over the world. You've been in that part of the globe. I don't think these leaders are used to hearing our president talk this way.
No, they haven't. And it's a good thing that President Trump does talk that way. I agree 100% with what the president said, with one exception, and that is Europe is a predatory trader, but it's not nearly as bad as China. There is no country on earth which is bad as China when it comes to trade. But apart from that, the president is absolutely right on all those points, because the United States actually needs to have better trade relations with other countries. And we're not going to get there until we do the tough negotiations.
And do you think that America has the most to gain from taking a firmer stance on these trade terms?
Well, absolutely. You know, you look at, for instance, Europe, which has been in the news recently. They do close their markets. They do subsidize their competitors like Airbus, and their tariffs are higher. The president's clearly right about that. And you look at it country to country, there are these problems. Some places, the issues are not so bad. Canada is not so bad. We actually have a surplus with Canada when you include services. But nonetheless, even in our relations with Canada, there does need to be, I think, a lowering of tariffs. And as the president points out, we need to have reciprocal and fair provisions, which we don't have and which we do need to have, even with a good neighbor like Canada.
And you know, it's interesting when I hear this kind of talk going on between the nations and President Trump, I kind of keep an eye on the stock market, as may you, but I think the stock market kind of held its own today in spite of this kind of rhetoric of trade wars and all of that.
Well, it has, and it's partly because of the great jobs report that was released this morning. But also, you have just a number of signs that the U.S. economy really is roaring ahead. And this means that the United States can afford to actually have a little bit of friction, because we need this friction in order to have a more sustainable economy. So, for instance, going back to what is the worst violator, which is China, they're stealing U.S. intellectual property, as I mentioned. We have an innovation-based economy now, Russ. And if we can't commercialize our innovation, we are not going to have much of an economy.
Right. Well, on another front, as you know, Secretary Pompeo has returned back to North Korea. Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall in that conversation to fill in the blanks in the concrete details on denuclearization? Now, I know you've traveled in that part of the world. You may have a bit of a different take on his trip there. How do you think that's going to go, and what are you seeing in that space?
Yeah, I don't know how the trip is going to go, and we'll find out Sunday and the following days after it's over. But this is make or break for Trump administration policy on North Korea, because the president has based his policy on the notion that Kim Jong-un has made a strategic decision to give up his most destructive weapons. And if he's done that, then President Trump's policies make sense. But if he hasn't done that, hasn't made that decision, then we need to change our policies very quickly, because we're giving some very important concessions to Kim Jong-un, and those concessions actually give him an incentive to drag out this process. So I hope that Secretary Pompeo, and I'm sure that Secretary Pompeo, is not going to allow Kim to do that.
Do you think Un will keep his word on this deal? They've got history of not doing so.
Yeah, of course the North Koreans lie, steal, and cheat, and they're doing that now. But this is not so much an issue of the North Koreans. We know that they're villains. This is an issue of whether President Trump will use the elements of American power to force the North Koreans not to lie, steal, and cheat. And so this is really a Trump question, not a Kim question.
Yeah, and you know, it would be, you know, President Trump, the art of the deal, and he definitely brings a different style to the White House than we've seen with other presidents. And, you know, you hear President Trump talk, and he seems very optimistic, and then you hear other prognosticators that think he's maybe being played, or maybe he's being, you know, set up for failure, and is someone, you know, a dictator like Un really going to give up his missiles? So it will be interesting to see. You know, I know Mike Pompeo from my years in Kansas, and he is equally a tough negotiator.
Yeah, I'm sure that he is, and he was very impressive not only during his confirmation hearings, but in his first weeks as Secretary of State. This is going to be difficult, and I think that he, along with National Security Advisor Bolton and the President, are going to be at their best, because they've got to be. Because the North Koreans are difficult, even in the best of times. But the United States has overwhelming leverage, not only over them, but more important, over North Korea's major power sponsors, Russia and China. And that really is the key to where we're going, because if we're going to get Kim to do the right thing, it's because we have convinced both Moscow and Beijing that they cannot continue to do the wrong things.
Now, some say they continue to see some testing over there in North Korea. Have you been tracking any of that?
Well, you know, certainly. This is not only from leaks from the intelligence community, but this is also analysis in open source of satellite imagery. And it's clear that even after the June 12th summit, the North Koreans have continued to improve their nuclear weapons facilities and their missile facilities. So, for instance, cooling systems have been added to the 5-megawatt reactor at Yongbin. This produces plutonium. There are no peaceful uses for this reactor. They're continuing to work on it, as satellite imagery shows. And, of course, the intelligence community has been leaking to various outlets, especially NBC News, about how North Korea is continuing to increase production of fissile material. All of this is inconsistent with a decision on the part of Kim to give up his weapons program.
Yeah, I've looked at these imaging, and for our listeners, if you want to look, there's satellite imaging indicating that North Korea may be still working on some of these different places. One site is 38 North, which is very interesting, that has the different aerial views of the different sites and whatnot, and I'm sure our own intelligence. When was the last time you were over in that region, Gordon?
We were over there about 3 weeks ago. We were in Hong Kong, not in on the Korean Peninsula. But I was on the Korean Peninsula about a year ago.
Yeah. And what are you seeing is the mood on the ground there?
Oh, well, in Korea, it's really interesting because you've got a very divided populace. But they're basically, the mood right now is a lot of optimism because they think North Korea is moving in the right direction.
Well, Gordon Chang, thank you so much for being back on Washington Watch. We appreciate it so much, and you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Russ.
Well, President Trump's lean White House staff is saving taxpayers some $22 million. When we return, we will talk with Angie Efeskinski of OpenBooks.com. He's going to crunch the numbers for us, and we're going to take a look at this. Of course, you know President Trump has passed on his salary, but he's running such a tight machine, it's saving serious dollars compared to President Obama. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide. Should state law require pregnancy resource centers to provide free advertising for the abortion industry? Congressman Andy Harris has spent his life serving his neighbors, country, and community, and has become one of the foremost advocates in Congress who has stood with these pregnancy resource centers as the Supreme Court determines whether the state can force individuals or private entities to act in contradiction to their beliefs. In 2017, the U.S. witnessed its lowest abortion rate since 1975, proving that these pro-life pregnancy centers have had a positive impact despite radical pro-abortion activists trying to violate First Amendment rights. Don't miss Representative Harris's discussion of the ongoing fight to protect the sanctity of life, as well as the First Amendment rights of those standing for the pro-life cause. Visit frc.org/lectures to view this important event.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Happy Friday. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to the Family Research Council, powered by the Family Research, you're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, President Trump's White House payroll has 374 employees. That's 95 fewer staffers than Barack Obama at the same point in their presidencies. The Trump White House workforce runs about 20% leaner. With us now is Adam Andrzejewski. He's the CEO, founder of OpenTheBooks.com, the largest private repository of U.S. public sector spending, and author of Operation Drain the Swamp. Adam, welcome to Washington Watch.
Russ, thank you very much for your interest in our work and that great introduction. Isn't it about time that we have somebody run for office and actually execute on their promises to the American taxpayer? Our oversight of that White
absolutely.
House payroll
shows you've
that
actually
Trump
got a you've actually got a compelling article in Forbes magazine on this very topic. And what have you found?
So we found that whether you compare Trump in 2018, against his first year of the presidency on the White House payroll, or if you compare the president versus Barack Obama at the same point in their presidencies, Trump versus Trump or Trump versus Obama, and he's running in 2018, he's been able to hone his White House payroll. It is a leading indicator of the president telling his executive agency heads that they're going to have to do more with less, and Trump's leading by example. So, against the Obama payroll, Trump is running a White House payroll that is $6 million lighter. It's roughly 100 employees lighter than what President Barack Obama ran. Comparing the first ladies, it's pretty stark. Melania is running a payroll of 10, whereas Michelle Obama ran a payroll of 24. Michelle Obama's payroll actually cost the American taxpayer, just her payroll alone, $1.6 million a year. So the Trumps, whether it's the First Lady or whether it's the presidency, the president, they are leading. They are leading on protecting the American taxpayer by running a honed and lean White House payroll.
So overall, there's 148 employees from Trump's 2017 payroll of the 377 employees, so that no longer work in the White House. There's been some turnover, which isn't a surprise. I'm sure that work at the White House is intense, and the employee turnover rate was 39% year over year. And so we're also seeing, when you put that together, is he just making the White House work with fewer employees because didn't Obama have the czars and all of those kind of folks?
Well, you're right about that, Russ. So we found no evidence in the first two disclosed White House payrolls in 2017 and 18 under Trump. We found no evidence that czars were back in the White House. If you remember back in the day, they had, you know, the climate change czar, the, you know, czars of community organizing. They had czars on the public payroll for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and Trump has eliminated the concept of czars in the White House. Furthermore, not only is Trump looking really good at a 20% leaner payroll versus Obama, but he's also looking good against himself. He was able to cut $500,000 from his White House payroll from his first year and three positions. So he's even looking good and learning on the job, you know, year over year, and this bodes well for the future.
And, of course, this is right in his wheelhouse, isn't it? He knows all about running payrolls. That's what attracted him to lots of voters during the campaign, and he knows how to come in early, as he says, and under budget. And so not only is he giving up his salary, but also, his family members are giving up his salary. But having just taken those away, it sounds like he's doing well with those that he's paying.
That's right. So the president has actually donated his salary on a quarterly basis to the Department of the Interior, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Education, Health and Human Services, and most recently to Veterans Affairs. So, he's not taking a salary. The first daughter, Ivanka Trump, and her husband, the son-in-law, the senior advisor, Jared Kushner, they both refuse a salary, which is proper. So the Trumps, you know, as a family, are not taking any taxpayer money. Everyone wants to characterize the White House payroll as saying nobody wants to work there, and that is just not true. This is a strategy, and the strategy was laid out in a memo in February of 2015. Right when the president got on the job, he issued a memo to his executive agency heads, freezing payrolls, freezing salaries, telling them that they had to do more with less. And quite simply, this is a strategy that he's led on at the White House, led on it year over year, and he's showing everybody on how to shrink the size, scope, and power of the federal government.
And even though, as you note in your article, even though this is a very small, minuscule part of the overall debt that we have in the nation, it communicates to our citizens, doesn't it? Doesn't it also communicate to those that are in government?
Well, it really does. And you see the effects of this in some of the agencies. So the Department of Education, we're getting ready at openthebooks.com. And I love your audience because they're so engaged, Russ. I welcome everyone to our site at openthebooks.com, and we're getting ready to issue an oversight report on the Department of Education. And we'll break a few findings right here on your program. Under Betsy DeVos, not only did they freeze pay in hiring, but they've also cut already 20% of the headcount at the agency with no diminishment in government in the ability of government to deliver the services. So, if you go all the way back to 1983 and the Grace Commission under President Ronald Reagan, the Grace Commission said that 30% of all government spending was waste. And here you have the president already reduced 20% of his White House payroll. You know, in the Department of Education, DeVos, she's reduced 20% of her headcount on payroll, and this is the type of leadership that the country needs.
Yeah, people try to rise to the level of the leader. It rarely works the other way around, isn't that right? People don't rise above the leader. Adam, we're out of time. Thank you so much. We'll have to get you back on another time, but folks, we've been talking with Adam Angelevsky. He's the CEO and founder of OpenTheBooks.com. Adam, thanks so much for being with us on Washington Watch.
Great to be on the program, Russ. Thanks for your interest in our work.
All right. Thank you so much. Very interesting. And that should be encouraging to you. Well, coming up next, have you seen the horrific video of the teen who had his soda thrown in his face for wearing a Make America Great Again hat? We'll discuss with counterculture mom Tina Marie Griffin when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide. Should state law require pregnancy resource centers to provide free advertising for the abortion industry? Congressman Andy Harris has spent his life serving his neighbors, country, and community, and has become one of the foremost advocates in Congress who has stood with these pregnancy resource centers as the Supreme Court determines whether the state can force individuals or private entities to act in contradiction to their beliefs. In 2017, the U.S. witnessed its lowest abortion rate since 1975, proving that these pro-life pregnancy centers have had a positive impact despite radical pro-abortion activists trying to violate First Amendment rights. Don't miss Representative Harris's discussion of the ongoing fight to protect the sanctity of life, as well as the First Amendment rights of those standing for the pro-life cause. Visit frc.org/lectures to view this important event.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's a pleasure to be with you here. Hope you had a good 4th of July, Independence Day, to do some grilling. We smoked some ribs, had a good time with family and friends. But while we were celebrating our nation's birthday, the vitriol just seemed to continue. I'd see these things flash up on my phone, crawl lines, on the news and whatnot. And this story here, just so troubling to me. According to a video that has since gone viral, by the way, three San Antonio teens walked into a nearby Whataburger in Texas. And while they were eating, what's being reported to be a 30-year-old ripped the hat, some Make America Great Again hat, and some hair off of one of the teens' heads, and then proceeded to throw a drink into the teen's face. He uttered a profane, racist term and walked out with the hat. And I was going to play the audio, but it's just too vulgar. Couldn't do that. And then, you know, Thomas Woods, he's a conservative actor, very good, talented actor. Well, apparently his publicist let him go over the past few days in an email saying he was feeling patriotic and didn't want to represent him anymore because of his support of President Trump. Folks, this just seems to be where we're at, sadly. And joining us now is Tina Marie Griffin, and she's counterculture mom, former Hollywood actress, pop culture expert. Tina, great to have you back again.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks for having me. How are you doing down there?
We're doing good. A bit rainy, you know, but it's been hot. But it's what's going on with our culture right now. And I can think of anyone better than Counterculture Mom to come talk about the culture, James Woods, and this poor teenager. I mean, as a mom, that had to really hurt.
It made me actually pretty angry. I was actually just at the store. I wanted to go find a Make America Great Again hat and wear it with pride out here in the culture and see who would try to rip it off my head. I think the thing that frustrates me the most is that the guy that did that to that teenager, you know, he's allowed to have his freedom of speech, which he crossed the line major in this case, but he's allowed to have freedom of speech because people actually died to make our country free, to give him the right to be able to have his free speech. And it really angers me because the kid wasn't doing anything wrong. I want to congratulate the kid, first of all, that teenager, the counterculture warrior growing up here in a wild times of that we're in, to be able to boldly share, hey, I want America to get back on track. I want morality to return. I want kids to not be fed a message that could strip our lives of the amazing life that God could give. And the crazy thing is, this kid is actually being a bold warrior, and he's being blasted for it. So the cool thing out of this whole thing is that the guy who did this to him lost his job, and I was actually grateful for that because it will teach him a lesson and hopefully other people watching this a lesson that you can't just do nasty things to people because you don't agree with what they have to say. I mean, every day we have to ingest the fact that abortion is still legal in our country, and that's ripping my heart out. Our tax dollars are going to something that bothers me, but we still got freedom of speech, and as long as I'm still on this earth, I'm going to do whatever I can, and I know you as well, to make sure that we have the right to express what we believe in. And this kid is wanting our country to return back to a state that it was in 20, 30, 40 years ago, and also back to a state it was in when it was first founded.
Yeah, Hunter Richard is the teenager, and yes, he's learning what it may be like to be a warrior, and then the assaultant, Kino Jimenez, I believe it is. Apparently, he has been charged with theft. What about assault? I mean, that was an assault, and his bond has been set at $5,000. So, I think we're seeing so much of this. The intolerance of the left is so great, and even our young folks are seeing this wrath, and I'm just hoping and praying that this will get the turnout in the midterms will reflect a different kind of vision for America that we're seeing there.
I couldn't agree more. And I just want to encourage people who are tuning in or saw that take place. Don't let that fear give you any fear on, well, can I wear my hat? Can I wear my shirt? Can I carry around the Bible? Yes, we can. Our freedoms are still there. Separation of church and state is a big lie as well. It's to protect the churches and our freedom of religion. And if people actually knew the truth behind separation of church and state, there'd be a lot more people out there today boldly and confidently sharing our love for the Lord and the truth that exists and getting our country back on track. So the teen, you said his name was Hunter. I just want to encourage people, whenever I go through hard stuff, and I know, Russ, you can say the same thing, God is preparing us to be bold. Are we really in it for him? Are we willing to put up the fight? And I really have a feeling God is getting Hunter trained for what is to come if he's already getting heat as the teenager for doing what's right. And that's the exciting thing out of this, is he's going to be a leader that actually gets his country changed around.
Hey, Tina, we're up against a break. Can you hold on and come back?
Yes, without a doubt.
All right. I want to talk about James Woods, the actor. You've got a little experience there in Hollywood that I think you can shed some light on. We're talking with Tina Marie Griffin, counterculture mom, former Hollywood actress, pop culture expert. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You can find all of this great content at TonyPerkins.com, by the way. Don't go away. We'll be here, right here. Don't go away. Promise? Pinky promise? Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Should state law require pregnancy resource centers to provide free advertising for the abortion industry? Congressman Andy Harris has spent his life serving his neighbors, country, and community, and has become one of the foremost advocates in Congress who has stood with these pregnancy resource centers as the Supreme Court determines whether the state can force individuals or private entities to act in contradiction to their beliefs. In 2017, the U.S. witnessed its lowest abortion rate since 1975, proving that these pro-life pregnancy centers have had a positive impact despite radical pro-abortion activists trying to violate First Amendment rights. Don't miss Representative Harris's discussion of the ongoing fight to protect the sanctity of life, as well as the First Amendment rights of those standing for the pro-life cause. Visit frc.org/lectures to view this important event.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide.
Round in third and heading towards home. It's Friday. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. We're talking with Tina Marie Griffin, counterculture mom, former Hollywood actress, pop culture expert. Tina, thanks for holding on.
Hey, no worries.
Well, you spent some years in Hollywood on various different shows and whatnot, and interesting turn of events here over the Independence Day holiday. James Woods, the actor, I guess he got canned by his publicist because he supports Donald Trump. Did you see that?
I did, and it doesn't even surprise me that happens. The pressure is so great, and I'm not James Woods. You know, I was Tina Holowinski back then, and I can just tell you that I didn't become a major star actor like he did, so the pressure wasn't as great for me, but I still felt a lot of it for all the different shows that I've had a chance to work on, or almost did. I would audition for different roles, and then I would get on set and find out they want me to wear a 4-inch-long skirt. It's like, why even put one on when there's hardly any material there? So, of course, I speak up, and then I lose the job. And that's just the different things I personally have seen over the years, the decade that I was out there, and that's just one of many situations. So it's tough doing the right thing and doing what God's called you to do. In his situation, he is a big name actor. He could easily be blacklisted. And he actually, I read some articles where he said he was in the past from different roles because of his stance. But the thing at the end of the day that really matters, that he's doing the right thing and standing up for what's right. And if we as Christians didn't support, buy, watch, supply, go to any concerts from people in Hollywood that pumped out content that didn't line up with our beliefs, they would all be going under right now. They wouldn't have a following, and they wouldn't be living in a mansion.
Right. Well, the email that apparently James Woods received was, it's the 4th of July, and I'm feeling patriotic. I don't want to represent you anymore. I mean, I could go on a rant, but you know what I'd say. And James said his response, dear Ken, I don't actually. I was thinking if you're really patriotic, feeling patriotic, you would appreciate free speech and one's right to think as an individual. Be that as it may, I want to thank you for all your hard work and devotion on my behalf. Be well. That was just a class response, I think.
Total class response. And the same thing, I was going to mention that during commercial break with Hunter in Texas. He could have easily got up and tried to swing at the guy that did that to him. Yelled something back in defense that was obscene. I just want to give a two thumbs up to both of these guys in this situation where we turn the other cheek and we respond
in love nicely or don't respond at all and stay tight-lipped. Honestly, both of them, Russ, if I want to be honest, sometimes I would respond in anger or say, how dare you, quickly. They'd probably both answered what happened to them better than what I would have done. Sometimes I get angry right away because I'm like, hey, you're killing America for our kids. But they responded great in both situations. And yes, freedom of speech does still exist. So it just bums me out that people are losing jobs, their career, everything because of what they hold dear to their heart. It really bothers me. But at the same time, we're doing what's right, and that's what matters. You know, what does God say about all this?
Well, Tina, thank you so much for being with us here on the show. Where can folks follow you and what you're doing?
Yes, they can go to counterculturemom.com, and we also have a brand new app that just came out. So if they download Counterculture Mom app, both from Google Play or iTunes Store, I actually send out push notifications to all the parents that have this app for free on letting them know ahead of time what to watch out for in pop culture, a film, TV show, magazines, something going on with Netflix, you name it, they'll find out ahead of time, video games, and that way they can hopefully shelter their kids or talk to their kids before this stuff is seen by their kids and they're impacted by it. So that's on there. I have five or six other bloggers that are on there with great tactics on how to raise counterculture warrior children in today's cultural chaos, all from Counterculture Mom app. And they can also download a free PDF that I have out there, a pop culture purge document. All they got to do is text the media guide, no spaces, to the number 44222, and they will get in their inbox within under a minute these great tips on how to do a pop culture purge in their home and they get their kids back on track with positive entertainment, because what we bring into our minds becomes what we believe and shapes our worldview and how we respond. And Bible in and trash out is what I believe, and I think we'll see a totally different America.
Very good, Tina. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed weekend, okay? Thanks for what you're doing.
You too, Russ. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Tina Marie Griffin, Counterculture Mom. Always fun to have her on. Give us a call. Let's go to the phone lines now. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. What did you do over the 4th? Did you light some fireworks? Did you talk politics? If so, how did that go over? And we've talked about several things here today. I'd like to get your thoughts on where we're at. Have you had somebody lay into you lately? And what was your response? And what would you have to say? You know, we are in a battle. As we discussed on the show last Friday, are we in the midst of another civil war? And some would say we're already in the midst of a soft civil war, a civil war of ideas. And you're definitely seeing folks take to the streets and protests and whatnot. So let's talk about it. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. And by the way, you can get all this content on TonyPerkins.com. If you didn't catch all the show today, you can go listen and download and listen to it as you're working out or going on your walk or what may it be. And, you know, we've had some weather down here in Mississippi, and my computer, it got blown up, but it's back and working now, and it's good to have everything back in working order. Let's go to Hunter in Lone Star, Texas. Hi, Hunter. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Great to talk to you again. I was just telling the call screener, you know, I saw that video of that kid in that Whataburger, and, you know, and I definitely saw...
And his name was also Hunter?
Yeah, it was, and I didn't know that at the time, but, and of course I saw on Twitter what happened to James Woods, which is just absolutely silly, but it just really made me think, now more than ever, you know, each Shabbat, you know, one of the things that we pray is from the book of Psalms, where we're commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We say, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim Amen, which means pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Hebrew, but, you know, we always pray for our country. I think churches really need to get on their knees in America and seriously intercede with prayer and with fasting. I mean, that's commanded, too, that there were only some things that Jesus said himself would be broken through prayer and fasting. And what needs to be broke is this level of incivility, the contentions, the rivalries, the things that, you know, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, preached about and said, these are the kinds of things that lead people to the second death. And that's what I'm really concerned about. You know, so I think it's great, you know, your guest that you had on, what she's doing. You know, I've heard her before. She's fantastic. And I'm sure she's doing the same thing, too. As believers, we should really be praying, you know, let's move away from this, because really the only answer to all of this is to get people from where they're at now back into the house of God and into the Word of God so that we can speak kindly to one another in peace and shalom.
Well, and Shabbat shalom to you, Hunter. Thank you so much for calling on this Friday. As the sun goes down, my heart is preparing to rest, and I'm so excited to do that and rest in our Lord Jesus. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Hey, Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I would just like to say that there's a young man and that's, you know, was assaulted. He handled it so much better than I think some people in my family would have. They would have probably fought back. And I'm proud of him. I did. But I'd also like to say that the people that are in the entertainment business that do believe the right way, they need to all just pull together. There's enough of them that they can protect each other and work together and do things without letting the left even in to upset them. And I would also like to pray for the people over in Thailand that are trying to save those the soccer teams, because I heard only once on the news today, and I haven't heard any more, that one of the Navy SEALs died going
I
in
saw that.
Coming out. And I would just like to pray for a protection over everybody that's trying to help those kids that's risking their life.
Right.
And they would do the same for people on the left. And they just need to wake up. And I hope it's not too late. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, Mary. Thank you so much. Let's go to Wayne in Virginia. Hey, Wayne, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I have a question as to why liberal businesses are allowed to discriminate based on viewpoint, while conservative businesses like florists and bakers are not allowed that right.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And I think ultimately what we're all hoping for and seeking is, if it's your business and you have something that goes against your strongly held religious belief, then you need to be able to have the freedom to stand on that. So you bring up a good question, Wayne, and it does seem a little lopsided most of the time, a lot of the time, actually. Thanks so much, Wayne, for calling. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Michael in College Station, Texas. Hey, Michael.
Howdy. It's a great pleasure to be on the show. I haven't called in here before, so this is cool.
Well, welcome. Glad you're here. We don't bite. Actually, we love newbies.
Well, I've called on a couple other AFR stations. I just haven't had the chance to call on the Tony Perkins show, so this is cool. I'd like to talk about, I go to a major university. I go to Sam Houston State University. I'm a senior, and all my college career, I have been a pariah in both the history and philosophy departments because I think and believe as a Christian. My perspective is biblical, and that does not jive with today's liberal arts degrees. So I get a lot of flack, and lately I've been badgered by professors to come out as a Trump supporter, and I just won't do it. And people want to preface their talks with me as well. Who'd you vote for? Or anytime you do that. So I really want to encourage people. I do a lot of ministry on campus, sharing the gospel, and I try to keep politics out of it. When people bring politics up, the first thing I do is I try to divert the conversation away, because the ultimate goal is to talk about Christ. And it's really hard to do that when people are, you know, all uptight about politics. And, you know, politics is very important. But when we're trying to share the gospel with somebody, when there's somebody that we know needs Jesus Christ, arguing about politics and who's right, who's wrong, at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. What matters is, do they know Christ, and how do I show them that? And for me, I've found out that coming out and saying, yeah, I'm a Trump supporter, and this is right, and this is right, all it does is it turns people off from what I need to say about the gospel. So what I would say is, I would encourage people, when they're out talking to liberals or to anybody that needs Christ, I would say, do as the Bible says. Be cunning as serpents and gentle as doves. And at the end of the day, that person needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
They don't need to know that you're right or wrong about Donald Trump and politics. So that's
well, Michael. That's a good word on this. That's a good word on this Friday, and thank you for calling and picking up the phone and joining us. Call us again. Keep listening. Let's go to Linda in Oklahoma. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I was listening to your I'm fine, thank you. Yeah. I was listening to you on the radio on the way home, and my question is, why do we not, as Christians, exercise the laws that we have? Because we don't do these people a favor by not holding them accountable, not in hatred, but I think we do have a responsibility. There are laws against these kinds of attacks, against physical attacks, against hate crimes, you know, and things like that. So I think somewhere in there we got to find balance.
I think you're starting to see more folks do that. In this particular case at the Whataburger, they had this young man, 16 years old, Hunter Richard, has filed charges. So the assailant is facing two years in prison, and you know, we'll see where that goes. But you're absolutely right. It's time to start using the law, and appreciate you bringing that up today. I think we got time for one more quick call. Let's go to Pam in North Carolina. Hi, Pam. I am blessed. How are you doing?
Well, I'm blessed, too. Hey, I was calling in to find out why Maxine Waters hasn't been arrested for being a demagogue and using her political power to incite riots and tell everybody that if somebody's a Trump voter, to chase them out of movies, chase them out of everywhere, anywhere they're at, just chase them, shout them down, yell at them, scream at them, run after them. And, I think she needs to go to jail.
Oh, well.
I just don't believe people should be allowed to go out there and tell people to beat up on other people just because they're Trump butter.
Well, I guess that is her freedom of speech, right? But it would be pretty dumb to go actually do what she says, or anybody that calls for that kind of violence.
Well, that's being a demagogue, according to Bill O'Reilly.
Right. Well, Pam, thanks for bringing that up. And, yeah, Maxine Waters, she's been something to watch here of late, and given many folks a lot to talk about. And I think the best advice today is try to rise above all of that. Try to rise above the rhetoric. Try to be Christ-like. Try to take the higher ground. But at the same time, as Tony Perkins says, stand strong. Will you stand? There's no time in this culture for cowardice. Will you stand, but at the same time be a reflection of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ? And will we have compassion in our strength at the same time? So that is a strong balance that I think all of us need to try to pursue and to pray, and not there is strength in weakness. This I know. And from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And friends, the waters don't rise, then the Lord tarries. We will see you Monday. Be well, be blessed.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.